Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. Thank you once again, Father, for the privilege, the honor, the blessing that is ours of being able to open your word and spend time in your presence every single day. Thank you for the wisdom, the power, the grace, the strength, the encouragement that you pour into our spirits, our minds, our lives, as we simply read and meditate on your word. Father, with every passing day, more and more open our hearts and our understanding to the tremendous privilege we have of being able to spend time with you in your word. Lord, what a blessing it is for us to know, Lord, that you'll spend as much time with us in your word as we'll spend with you. And help us to know, Lord, that it's our benefit, our blessing, our grace, that we spend a lot of time in your presence and thus receive the blessing that flows into our lives because we make it the priority that we should. More and more, help us to do just that every day, to be committed to spending significant time in your word. And help us also as parents and grandparents to be wise enough to teach and encourage and guide our children and our grandchildren to do the same as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. Mark is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Dear Lord God, thank you for an opportunity to serve you again today. And I thank you, Lord God, for your blessings, which are too numerous and too great for us to enumerate or even understand in large part. Lord God, I know that even people who choose to ignore you and pretend not to believe in you are also blessed. You've given even them life and this incredible planet to live on. Those are blessings, Lord God, that the wicked have received and don't even give you credit for that. And God, you are a good God. You are good to all. And I know that there is, you don't have a will that anyone should perish in your heart. You have given us free will, though, and some of those people I just mentioned are going to choose a path that leads to destruction. God, help us to lead people off of that path to the narrow path, which leads to salvation. And Lord God, I ask that you would anoint Joseph's words today, and mine too, as he asked me to talk a little bit. And we also want to lift up Isaac and the others who are working off-site today. Ask your blessings upon them. I just pray your blessings on our broadcast today and on the folks who hear it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Well, Mark, I appreciate you filling in as Isaac being out today. And you were just sharing with me a testimonial about evangelism, that an experience you had just this weekend.
Yeah.
I want to ask if you'll share that testimony with our listeners.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. My friend David Leatherman, and you've had him on this show before, mm-hmm. My friend and brother is just able to go out again. He and I on Sunday afternoons go out and pray with people in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. He likes to say that we have appointments with people. We don't even know their names yet, but
mm-hmm. That's right.
we get to mm-hmm. meet them, and many people that we approach, we're going door to door basically, and mm-hmm. Usually in poor neighborhoods, welcome us in and let us pray for them. And after we've prayed, we ask them about their relationship with Jesus. And if they are not sure, or are sure they haven't accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior, then we'll tell them the gospel story. And we've led a whole lot of people to salvation in mm-hmm. that way. And this weekend, we went to it was David's first weekend back after a long outage. He had a traffic accident and was in the hospital for several weeks, and then had gallbladder surgery right behind that and was out mm-hmm. another week in the hospital. Anyway, that seemed significant to me. And the
devil was trying to get rid of him, but
yeah,
the devil wasn't successful.
God's not done with him yet.
That's right.
And it was interesting. But as I was imagining going back out with David, the neighborhood that came to my mind was one, I didn't remember it as I was envisioning it, mm-hmm. was a place that we had had no success in last time we went. Mm-hmm. In fact, nobody answered their doors, and we ended up essentially shaking the dust from our feet and leaving, went to a different neighborhood that time. Mm-hmm. Well, this time, it looked like the same thing was going to happen, and just as we were about to leave and go somewhere else, a car pulled up and backed into the driveway at the house right across from the one we were standing in front of. Mm-hmm. And so we walked across the street and stopped on their driveway, and three young ladies got out. Like I told you earlier, there must be something peaceful about us. Maybe the Holy Spirit is hovering around us mm-hmm. because people are willing to get out of the car, even though two strangers are standing in their driveway. Mm-hmm. And these ladies were open to prayer. We got to pray with them. Then we got to share the gospel with them. One of them mm-hmm. prayed to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. and the other two prayed to rededicate their lives to Jesus. And
praise God.
And after that happened, David looked to heaven and cried mm-hmm. Because he's still being used of the Lord. And what a great example he is. We go to church, and what's the purpose of church? To prepare the saints for ministry. Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting more and more and more and more prepared, mm-hmm. but how many of us are like David and go out and share on a regular basis? More of us need to be, I think.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that testimony, Mark. And again, every believer is called to full-time ministry, whether they realize that or not. And our job is to stay in close, intimate relationship with Christ, listen to him, and be his vessel that he can use everywhere we go to share the gospel, to do the work of be a disciple and make disciples as well.
Amen.
Would you pray for believers to grow in their understanding of the need for us to be about the work of disciple-making every yes. day of our lives?
Yes. Dear Lord God, I pray that you would indeed help us to be about our Father's work. The book of Ecclesiastes is true. There is nothing in all the world that counts except for work done for the Lord. It's all vanity except for things that we do for you that will make a difference in eternity. And so, God, I pray that you would let the love that you have put into believers, such as Joseph and myself and David and so many of those listening right now, that would be enough love that it would show, that it would come out, and that we we would be intentional with sharing your love with others, and that the kingdom would grow by your Holy Spirit with the help of our efforts. God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your kingdom and to work for your glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And, you know, Mark, I think of this too. My wife and my wife Bertie and I, we travel a good bit in it, because as we pastor congregations, most of my life I've been a pastor for almost 50 years now.
Wow.
And I think of this, that most of the churches I've pastored have been a ways away. In other words, I've been a circuit rider of sorts.
Yeah, you know? An itinerant pastor.
Right. And, you know, sometimes people speak as if they kind of feel sorry for us because we have to travel so much. But, mm-hmm. you know, I realize we're greatly blessed to the Lord. It's not like I'm traveling on a mule, you know.
I mean, that's right.
I have a good vehicle by the grace of God that gets me to where I have to go. The church that I pastor at present is Ebenezer AME Church in Benton, Mississippi. It's a little ways away. But, again, I've got heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. So while folks may be feeling sorry for us, I'm blessed. You know, it's the goodness of God. And it's an honor to serve Jesus in any capacity.
Amen.
And it's wise for us to understand that. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for Mark's testimonial. And thank you for every person that's a part of our listening family.
Yes.
Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Help us to know, Lord, that more and more as we learn to grow, to be vessels your spirit can reach through to accomplish your will on a daily basis, that life can become so much more joyful and peaceful as well, as we're simply vessels your spirit can use to get your work done wherever we might go. Help us to be wise enough to carry gospel tracts where we go and spend time ministering to people, loving them to Jesus. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Joseph, if I might, one more thing.
Okay.
You don't have to go, you know, with the intention of, you don't have to go into a neighborhood and pray door to door. You can do it just, you know, whoever you bump into in the store.
As
could
you
be that next blessing that you get to share when you pray for anybody. And I've seen... Again, back to my friend David. I've taken him shopping while he was unable to drive for himself after his accident. And almost everybody he meets, he'll tell them about Jesus and pray for them if they're open to it. And a lot of people are. And a lot of people cry when he's praying for them because they haven't been touched in that way. A few people are willing to share that kind of love out in public. And so I think more of us should be. And God, right. please let me be that way. I'm working up my courage to do that. Joseph.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for sharing that. And, you know, definitely evangelizing and discipling as we go, but also sometimes prayerfully looking at times where, just like you and Brother Dave, go into a neighborhood specifically for the purpose of sharing the gospel. I think it's generally wise in a case like that. Don't go by yourself. I think it's good to go two by two or more. But
not with an army. That's intimidating.
Unless the Lord tells you to bring an army. So.
There you go.
But again, some of the greatest joys in life that a person can experience will happen as they're simply vessels that the Holy Spirit reaches through to share the gospel, to share discipleship in insights and encouragement. Again, helping people to draw closer to the Lord. That's what we're called to do. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We'll be reading through the Word in just a few moments. We'll be right back.
Looking for a way out.
Toby Mack with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen, to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah chapter 2. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence, and the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad, when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me, but the one on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall and turned back and entered the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins, with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem." Chapter 3, Nehemiah. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasaneah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabal, repaired. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Baanah, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodei, repaired the gate of Yeshana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Maranathite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province, beyond the river. Next to them, Uziel, the son of Harhiah, goldsmiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Rephaiah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumaph, repaired opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabniah, repaired. Malchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashab, the son of Pahath Moab repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Malchijah, the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakarem, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And Shalom, the son of Kol-Hoze, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He rebuilt it and covered it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And he built the wall of the pool of Shaleh, of the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, ruler of half the district of Beth-Zur, repaired to a point opposite the tombs of David, as far as the artificial pool, and as far as the house of the mighty men. After him, the Levites repaired. Rehum, the son of Bani. Next to him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, repaired for his district. After him, their brothers repaired. Bavai, the son of Hanadad, ruler of half the district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezer, the son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section opposite the ascent to the armory at the buttress. After him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, repaired another section from the buttress to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, repaired another section from the door of the house of Eliashib to the end of the house of Eliashib. After him, the priests, the men of the surrounding area, repaired. After them, Benjamin and Hashab repaired opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, repaired beside his own house. After him, Benui, the son of Hanadad, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress and to the corner Palal, the son of Uzai, repaired opposite the buttress and the tower projecting from the upper house of the king at the court of the guard. After him, Padiah, the son of Perosh, and the temple servants living in Ophel, repaired to a point opposite the water gate on the east and the projecting tower. After him, the Tekoites repaired another section opposite the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. Above the horse gate, the priests repaired, each one opposite his own house. And after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, repaired opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanam, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. After him, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, repaired opposite his chamber. After him, Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants, opposite the muster gate, and to the upper chambers of the corner, and between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. End of Nehemiah chapter 3. Lord, thank you once again for your word and the power and the grace that rests upon your word. And Lord, thank you for the book of Nehemiah and the wisdom and the insight about the importance of us working in the power of your Holy Spirit in all that we do, but also the importance of coming together in unity to carry out your work, your plan, your way, and according to your strategy. Help us to be wise enough. In fact, Lord, anoint each and every one of our prayer lives with a fresh and mighty anointing in the name of Jesus. Set our prayer lives on fire of your Holy Spirit, and help us to be wise enough to seek your wisdom, your guidance, and your strategy for everything we do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, picking up at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her, whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Matthew chapter 15. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, And why do you break the commandments of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God commanded, Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, If anyone tells his father or his mother, What? If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the people to him and said to them, Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, Explain the parable to us. And he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Verses 1 through 28, Matthew chapter 15. Thank you, Father, once again for the power and the grace upon your word. And thank you for every believer listening, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to set goals of reading at least 3 chapters in your word every day, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. We thank you and praise you. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to make that eternally important decision. If you want to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Please email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to come to grow up and grow strong and to put down roots deep in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch again. joseph@afr.net is that email. Thanks for listening. If you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day, a great day to start that very productive habit. And parents, if you're not already having each of your children to read 3 chapters aloud to you, today is a great day to start that habit and thus bless your children and bless your house as well. I hope you'll consider doing just that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.